Yes, yes, team. Welcome to another episode of the Total Mental Performance Podcast. Today, I have Mr. Ben Canning. We both work with Ben Hawksworth, the coach consultant. Ben's a good friend of mine. And I said, Ben, do you know anyone else in the industry that's doing some really cool, interesting stuff that's different that I should speak to, that I'm going to have a great conversation with? He said, yeah, it's another guy called Ben. And I was like, great. And then he put us in a WhatsApp, and here we are. So, mate, welcome to the Total Mental Performance Podcast.
Good. Thanks for having me. As I said, just before I come on, I'm excited to be the guest and see where we go today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, why don't you paint everyone a picture? What is it that you do?
I guess the long and short of it is a coach. I work with a very specific group of people. Anytime I say that, I feel like it's like Liam Neeson style, but essentially I work with people within the cybersecurity space, hackers, people in tech as a proper, broader statement, but a coach, health and fitness mindset to people who work in InfoSec, cybersecurity, and hackers, essentially.
Wow. How did you stumble onto that?
The truth of the matter, I'll tell you the full story, and I don't know if Dave will allow, he will appreciate me telling this, but I feel like I hacked Dave. So, I used to run a CRM called Pepper. I don't know if you ever used it. I used to run on Facebook and basically go through like specific Facebook groups and add titles of like founder, CEO, managing director, and whatever else. So it adds this guy, Dave Kennedy, one day. And 20 minutes later, he sends me a message. He's like, funny timing, dude. I'm in the middle of, like, I'm looking for a coach. And then this whole big life story about how he used to be 320 pounds, now he's 220 pounds. And like his every shit show that he's ever had to deal with. I was like, cool, you want to jump on a call? Jump on a call with him. Realized he was American for a start. Like, okay, right, I'm in a totally new world here already. Basically onboarded him, didn't really know anything about him at the start. And then obviously as I got to know him, he found out he worked in the cybersecurity space, found out he's the guy. So essentially, if there's some sort of data breach that Russia are trying to hack the US government, he's the guy that's on the news. Did a good job with him and then just have worked on referrals since then. He has a pretty substantial social media following, so whenever he started posting about me, it was like that sort of immediate level of trust, especially given the type of people and the nature of the struggles that they have. It's like this seemed to be the solution for them. So just did a good job with Dave, had one guy, and then grew essentially from that. And that was about probably just over 3 years ago.
Wow. And what's the company called?
We Hack Health is our podcast/community.
Yeah. And the specific challenges that these guys and girls sit with, it's funny. So I used to work in software sales. So I used to be in the office and you could see the sales team and you could see the developers and you could just see the clear fucking sheer difference. Like the sales team, obviously everybody looks really slick and they're in shape and they've got protein shakers all on the desks and protein bars everywhere. And they're like, yeah. Let's go. And then like over there, you just got all of these, there's like a range of different developers I used to spot. There was always one token gym dude, jack, massive, huge. And then you have a lot of the sort of the gamer guys and they're kind of like sort of hunched over like in the corner and they're sort of there and they eat, have their energy drink or whatever. And you got the funny guys that love beer. And then on the Friday, you'd see like all of those guys and girls like around the kitchen, around the computers, just like eating pizza and drinking beer and whatever. And then the sales guys and girls are either just like smashing alcohol or they're out to the gym. And you can kind of see that real split. So I can definitely see how you cracking into that space and helping hackers really get hold of their health and their performance can make a huge difference.
Yeah, I think that the common factor that I see in them all is like they have been so hyper-focused on being successful in their career that they've literally just disregarded absolutely everything else. And obviously at the sacrifice of their own health. And the thing that I've started to notice now is, you know, initially it was people who were maybe 10 or 20 years into their career and they're like, okay, I have a really successful career, but I'm going to die soon. So I need to do something about it. So that was the people I started working with initially. And then now what I'm starting to see is like the younger generation coming in as to like, they see what their potential future could be like if they don't take control now. So they're like, I need to get this shit sorted and get this shit unlocked. And for me, like I sort of joked, there's a couple of times throughout my career, we'll call it, that I've joked with Dave or joked with somebody and then it's become a reality. So first of all, we started about a podcast and started a movement, started a community and sort of being able to spread awareness within that space, because the hackers in general are quite a community-based organization. And they're always there to help each other and they'll share a lot of like, you know, data breaches and information and whatever they need in terms of tools to fix things or whatever. And the second thing was, like, it was probably about May last year, I hosted the biggest event that I ever had. And I sort of came back from it. I was like, I realized that this is bigger than me. Like, this is a potential to help an entire industry with the influence that DF has. And then obviously the work that I can do and that the team is doing, like, there is a real opportunity there to change the narrative of essentially an industry that is a complete shit show. And from that, it's just been full send on that, because I think it's, for me anyway, it's more, I just feel more aligned with something that's a much bigger picture than just general health and fitness.
Yeah, it is. And when you look at the problems that these guys are solving, like the very cognitive problems, their ability to focus and concentrate is really important. And as we know, your health and fitness is a big, big part of that. And if you're not eating well, moving well, getting enough light, getting enough movement, then that's really going to impact your ability to code. And a lot of these guys and girls as well, they hit hyper-focus and they forget to drink water, they forget to eat, they forget to do those.
Literally nothing else matters except for whatever problem it is that they're trying to solve.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. But it does, and I'm an ADHDer, so I fall into that hyper-focus zone.
Yeah.
And next, you know, 4 hours went by and I'm like, fuck, I haven't eaten or drank anything and I'm exhausted and I'm tired and I gotta really rein that back in.
Yeah.
Helping them. You got to think about it, like you already, whether you thought on this level or not, this is as it's coming to my awareness, but we live in a technological world and these guys are literally working in the matrix. So you are helping the engineers that are creating this digital fabric of reality, which is the internet. So, and on top of that, you're working in cybersecurity. So these are like the bad guys, the good guys. You've got ethical hackers and you've got really like the actual hackers. And so there's almost a safety meaning and purpose into what you're doing, which does transcend. Hey Ben, can you get me a six pack? Which is quite cool. There's nothing wrong with
that.
So it's a cognitive meaning and purpose role in that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing from what you're saying is the safety of the future of the world is in my hands with these guys. Is that literally what you're saying?
Just a bit. Yeah. So don't fuck this up.
No, but it's true. I think that, you know, I love all the clients that I work with, and just, it's the most unique set of conversations that I can have with them on a daily basis or whatever. And, you know, they are the people who you potentially were bullied at school or made fun of, you know, they were the geeks or the nerds or whatever else. And they're proud of being geeks and nerds. Like, I kind of like that. But as you said, you know, they're at the stage now where they're in control. Like, these guys literally have the potential to rule the world because of their capabilities with the internet and the future of how technology is going. So it's cool to sort of see how that has transitioned as well.
Mm. Are you working with any mercenary hackers that are like there to destroy the world?
No, I did actually. I had a call one time with a guy. It was a friend of Dave's. A guy called Kevin Mitnick, he was like infamous, like he was a bad guy at one point, like FBI most wanted list. And I was like, I'm very conscious now of like the people that I'm talking to, is somebody listening to me? Like, am I going to try and fly to America one time and not be allowed in? So there, I've seen both sides of it. I work with good guys essentially.
Yeah.
Or so I believe.
Yeah. Do you ever get terrified that someone's going to come hack your shit?
So like, I've said this time and time again, I was like, I feel safe because I know the people that I work with would have already looked after me in some way. So they've probably already done their due diligence. But like, I'm like, I'm a target essentially because I have the information to, you know, potentially over 100 hackers. Like, I have the information. So it's like, I'm a pretty easy target here, but I think that they have me covered. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. So run me through your story. How did you, obviously you give me the business story, but what's the personal story? How did you get it?
Personal story about me, I guess, if I think back to a younger, well, I guess I have just passed my 10-year mark of actually training myself, like in the gym. And if I think about before that, it was a very different version of me, essentially a pisshead, drinking drugs every weekend, trying to escape a reality of myself I just didn't like. I was 26 at the time. I lived in my spare bedroom in my grandparents' house, and I just was living for the weekend every single week. And a friend of mine got his qualification as a coach, needed a first client. I thought, this is my opportunity. And from that first day in the gym, the 4th of February, 2014, essentially, I've never looked back. I sort of went through a couple of phases of working with him one-to-one, then working online. And I was like, this online coaching business seems easy. Like, this guy just sends me an email once a week. Like, why can't I not do that? Mm-hmm. Then did my coaching, did work on the gym floor, and then realized that online is not easy and it's a whole different kettle of fish, and just essentially moved into that. Whenever I first started, I thought I would work with people like myself, who essentially were approaching 30 and just getting their life together from being an asshole essentially and through their 20s. When I worked in the gym floor, I didn't really do that. I essentially worked with females who just wanted a small waist and a big bum, and that was fine at the time. And then when the global shit show happened in the world lockdown, I moved fully online. And then it was that was in March, and then September was the time I had a call with Dave, and then I just went full send on online. And now the majority of the people I work with are in the US. The 95% of my clients are hackers, as I said. And like I said, I feel like this is a mission that's much bigger than me.
Mm. Yeah. So when you look at now, off the back of these guys and girls that you're working with, like, what about is it about them that really resonates? If you look back at, you know, this is where for me the connection really sits in. Where do you resonate with their puzzles?
I think, as I said, whenever I first started coaching, it was I thought I would be able to help people who were like me, and I think these people are like me, just not in the way that I thought. So it's like, if I think like at that stage, I probably had no hope in certain ways, and then was able to sort of get myself out of it and make a change through training and personal development, stuff like that. A lot of these guys, when they come to me, they have no hope because they've tried everything, quote unquote, and you know, they're successful in, you know, 95% of the things that they do, but they don't have success in how they look and how they feel. So they're hopeless in that. So I'm the person that comes in and gives them the self-belief and the tools to allow them to then execute and be successful within that. So I think that's where that I have found the connection. I've only really thought about that probably towards the end of last year. I was sort of reflecting on me then versus me now, and why I'm so in with these guys and girls, you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. When I look at my client base, so I've got two companies. I've got Total Mental Performance. So that is the market leader for coaching coaches and high performance entrepreneurs to help them ultimately master emotions, minimize overwhelm, and just get more shit done. And we do that through working in the mind. But outside of that, I work with high net worths and some coaches that are working at like a really, really different league and level in the mindset and mental performance space. And I held the TMP event. We had 120 coaches in there in August was it September? I think September last year. And when you looked around the room, if you looked at the demographic, everybody would look really different. Like some people like jacked and covered in tattoos, and then there's like, you know, some people from the Asian community, or some like skinheads, or there's like you know, so sort of some really just normal looking dudes and girls, and then there's like some fitness super pros, and like all these various different things. And the common thread between all of that was that these guys and girls often felt trapped. They felt not enough. They felt anxious. They felt overwhelmed. And mm-hmm. when we looked around the room, it was really especially when there's like over 100 people that are all there for the same thing, and they're all experiencing the same struggles. And the common thread really came back to childhood. So for me, I often felt trapped and overwhelmed. So one of my biggest values is freedom. How can I help high performers achieve freedom? So when you look back at perhaps your childhood and how you felt, and perhaps how your current clients think and feel, there was some similarities. What's the connection between the two?
I would say for me, it was probably the academic side of school never really gelled. I think it comes down to just, I never really liked authority and never really liked being told what to do. Like I was always very much like go against the grain, like fuck you to everybody. And that obviously didn't go well in school because you needed to do what you're told and whatever else. And then even as I sort of think about like jobs that I had, I was in and out of jobs. I ran a couple of businesses, we'll say, made money not doing a job, we'll call it. So I think that sort of like black sheep mentality is to like, you know, doing something different or being different is the thing that sort of stood out with them and with me. Like they didn't, you know, especially in America, because it's like collegiate athletes or jocks or whatever, and then there are the computer geeks or the nerds or whatever it is, and they sort of felt in the same way, and I think that's probably the way that I resonate with them.
Mm. Yeah. And if you look, they're very talismanic people. So they have gaming, for example. Mm-hmm. So like me, I was a massive gamer when I used to love Halo. And Halo came out, holy shit, the whole reality universe for me, for what gaming is, completely changed. I couldn't believe what I was playing. I was like, what on earth, right? And then if you look at, maybe not the younger hackers now, but like, you know, look at some hackers that have like Master Chief figuring in on the desk next to them while they're working. Dungeons and Dragons, some of them play Dungeons and Dragons, and they love these superheroes and these villains, and that need to be different, mm-hmm. that need to be understood, that need to be recognized, that need to just go off into their own world. Like, I can see that. I can definitely see that.
The coolest thing that one of the realizations that I've had is they've obviously been through that, and I would imagine being within that sort of hacker space and that community, as I said, it's very community oriented. There's almost like the freedom to express yourself, like be whatever you want. So two of the biggest hacker conferences are in Vegas at the start of August every year. And I went last year for the first time. That was a fucking experience. If you want like 10 days of absolutely like not knowing what's going on, go to it. But everybody was just there totally being themselves. And if I think back to myself, even whenever I worked in the gym floor, I was always the person like, quote unquote, I don't give a fuck about anything or what anybody says, but there was an underlying part of me that did, and I probably conformed to a lot of things that I didn't even realize. And the more that I've not been in an environment like that and been able to create my own environment within WEAC Health and the community and see other people be okay with being themselves and whatever their quirky thing is or whatever they're interested in, like they're so in on it, has sort of given me the freedom to be able to do that as well. So yes, they're learning from me, but I'm also like taking from them in terms of, I feel like as the months go on, I'm more and more comfortable being myself, especially around them, and then obviously in everything else that I do.
Yeah, it really does come down to authenticity and going, all right, well, this is what I'm interested in, this is where I'm at, and that's where I'm going to play. And hackers, they're interesting people. Like I from my job, I observe human beings and the way that they think and feel. And hackers and engineers are like, they look at the world differently. Like they're looking for the code, they're literally looking for the lines of code that can, and if they're hacking, you know, and cyber security, they're like, well, how can somebody fuck us up, or how can we fuck someone up?
Yeah.
And that's a very specific mindset, you know, and I can imagine with that type of mind that can focus on things when they really take their health and fitness and their performance on, I could imagine them to really go, yeah, you know what, I want to optimize this. I want to crack the code. How can I code for longer? Because they love it, right? So if they love it, they want to do more of it. So I can see the fun puzzle that you get to solve.
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing is for them, I sort of recognized quite early on, is they like to gamify everything. Like they can make a game out of it. So if I can make their health a game, like they're in. Do you mean they're full strength? Because there is, you know, there's limitless possible. They can't complete the game, like they, but they will continue to play it forever. And if I get them in on that, as you said, they'll become hyper focused on it and they'll just want to optimize it. And you know, the thing that I recognize about hackers is like all of their stories as to how they get into it is like when they were younger, they just used to like breaking things and putting them back together. And like that's essentially what we're doing. It's like, okay, we're looking at this, how can we break it, put it back together and make it better? And that's what they do for a job. So it's like, how can I take what they know and make it in health and fitness so that they can improve themselves, so they can be better in that area as well?
There's a beautiful coaching metaphor in there. I use a lot of metaphors in my coaching. So my background, you spent 8 years as a boxer, managed to make the national team, ended up with an eating disorder, tried to take my own life. That's where the mental health piece came in. Mm-hmm. 6 years in software sales and working in technology and selling into Europe and the US, and then retrained in hypnotherapy, cognitive therapy, NLP, and all the stuff that I do now. Mm-hmm. But if I come across another guy or girl that's been into boxing, and then I'll use metaphors and I'll speak in boxing. Or if I've got a client that loves Marvel, for example, I say, okay, well, what's your favorite Marvel films? I'll actually go and watch the films and I'll go and actually start to understand that. And I'll say, tell me, why do you love that film and what's going on? Or, you know, even one guy used to be a former jockey. So I used to learn a lot about horse racing and how that works. When you can start to operate in your client's model of the world, not in your model of the world, where you can use metaphors, we can teach things so fucking quickly for people to really absorb that and take that on. I can see that's what you're doing with the gaming. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it's just about speaking in their language. And one thing, I'll maybe give credit to Ben for this or maybe not, but we came up together, we'll say we came up with the idea together. So I run like a free Discord community. And one thing, the goal for this year is to make it a valuable space to be in. So we're going to make the whole Discord a game, essentially. So there's going to be challenges every single day. There's going to be a leaderboard. There's going to be points. So like my vision is that they'll be into it because there's points and they get actual XP. They'll be able to spend it on events or discount for coaching or merchandise or swag or whatever. But the challenges and tasks will be things that are going to help them better their health and wellness. So it's like they'll see it as the game and they'll do the things because they want the points. But in my eyes, I'm like, well, you're better on yourself and you don't even really know it. So that's what we're going to launch that probably start of March. I've got building like the bot for it for Discord, which will be exciting. And again, just to sort of like feed into their language almost.
That's fucking quality. And most of them have got Discord.
Yes. Well, whenever I coached originally, I had a Facebook group, and then they were like, oh, no, we don't use Facebook. And I'm like, so, and so should I not use Facebook? Like, I'm like, you're questioning everything in terms of like, is my, like, I don't have anything to hide apart from, okay, these are your calories and this is what we're doing this week. But, you know, I'm questioning the, like, what apps and what software and what information I'm giving away. But yeah, even moving into Discord, like the first time I logged into it, I was like, what the, and because Dave has quite a substantial following, it's like it went from zero to like 1,000 members straight away. So it was like really active. And so, I mean, it's been a learning curve for me on that front as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. And when you look at product development, like as you build your product and your service, that gamification element is, that's really thinking about, well, who is this individual? How do they think? How do they feel? And how can we make that work? And I think anyone through whichever field of work that you coach in that's listening back to this can really learn a hell of a lot. It's okay, well, how can I literally almost like try and sit in the shoes of who it is that I really want to help? And how can I game, whether it's gamifying or whether it's using various different metaphors or whatever. I really like that. I really, really like that. Have you read a book called Hooked by Nir Eyal?
I haven't read it, but I can almost guarantee it's on my shelf. Yeah, I can actually see it right there. I have it, but if you tell me that I should read it, I'll read it. It's literally right there.
Yeah. A big yellow one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you'll really love that. Because it basically talks about why we can't put our phones down. It talks about why we're so hooked on Instagram and Facebook. And essentially, there's four key parts. So the first thing is it triggers. I don't want to butcher this. Bear with me. I want to make sure I use exactly the right language.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah, I definitely will read. I've got a bit of travel coming up next week, so I'll bring that one with me. So it's not just sat on the shelf.
Yeah, it's basically how do you build habit-forming products, right? Okay. So how do we get people hooked on this stuff? And this is actually directly plays into what you're building. So first you have the trigger. Mm-hmm. So you'll have an internal trigger and external trigger. So the internal trigger might be anxiousness. It might be boredom. It might be you're hungry or whatever. Then we have the external trigger, right? So think about, I always use the example of, you know, when you go to the post office and you're bored and you wait in line, internal trigger, boredom. What do?
Keep your phone out.
Yeah, you go into your pocket. External trigger, right? External trigger, I am at the post office. I am bored. Internal trigger, let me go grab my phone, right? Or maybe the phone goes ding. So external trigger, it takes you into what's going on. And then you have actions. Then you do something, right? So maybe you open up your phone and then you go, click, Instagram, cool. Like that's the action. Or maybe it's, I need to check my WhatsApp or whatever. And then the third stage is variable reward. And what variable reward does is, you know, when you go on Instagram, it's not just straight 10 out of 10s, is it? Like, it's not just straight, like, this is amazing. This is amazing. This is amazing. The reason for that is they did a study on rats and they actually tested it on cocaine and cheese. And whenever the rat would press the button, it would, every time they did it, it would give them a piece of cheese or a piece of cocaine.
Okay.
On the two various different experiments. And what they found was every time that they had two running, one was every time you pressed it, out would come the cheese. On another one, it would be intermittent. So press the cheese, nothing, press the cheese, nothing, press the cheese, nothing, cheese, nothing, 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 cheese, nothing, nothing, cheese. And the rats went fucking wild and they all over ate the cheese.
Yeah.
And same for the cocaine. They went absolutely nuts for it, like when it was intermittent. So that they use that in gaming. So think about even when you're playing, say, a level of Halo, you get to a point where you can't get past the level and you get stuck and you have to do it 20 times. They've done that on purpose because it's a variable reward.
Yeah.
They do it in gambling all the time, variable reward. You press the slots, that's where they've got this model from. So you've got that happens. So you've got your action and then you get the variable reward, happy cat video or whatever. And then boom, finally, you've got investment. So if you look at a platform like Facebook, if you've been putting 10 years of data and time and effort and energy into Facebook, you don't want to just throw that away. Mm-hmm. Just like when you're in a relationship, you've been in a relationship with someone for 5, 10, 15 years. You don't want to throw that away either because there's a lot of investment in that.
Mm-hmm.
When you've gone through the loop or the cycle, that's a little £1 coin in the bank account of that loop So this is why we're hooked on everything. But the reason that came to mind is because you're literally building, and I think that book will completely change the game for how you build that product. You're literally unconsciously building that, that internal trigger, external trigger, the action, the variable reward, and then the investment. So fucking awesome.
Yeah, it'll be cool. And it's like, at this stage, it's a bit of fun. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have my coaching clients and whatever else. And the thing that I've come to realize is, and you'll know this yourself, like the more you put into the free stuff and whatever else in the community, like obviously as a byproduct down the line, you get the client. So for me at this point, I'm just having fun with everything that I've got, that everything that I'm doing. And like you said, sort of really feeding into them as people. Like for me, I want to learn how to hack. Like at one of the last events at last year, at some point, they got me like a lock picking kit. So they're physical like penetration testers as well. So they have to like go to buildings and break in and whatever else as well as online. So I'm like, I want to learn because it puts me in their space. Even going to their conferences and stuff, like, you know, they always come into my world whenever I host events and we go to the gym and whatever else. But me going to the conference to actually get an understanding is like, what happens when there's 50,000 hackers in Las Vegas? It's fucking chaos, obviously. But it's cool just to sort of be in their environment, just to see sort of what goes on and what makes them tick as a community, like as a collective of people.
That's awesome. What a fucking job. Breaking into people's houses, not houses, but like into corporate, I don't know, whatever they're breaking into. And like, that is my inner child screams at that. I used to do that as a kid. You'd go like into an abandoned warehouse and you try to see, can I climb in and explore it? And like all that urban exploration, like that is cool.
Mm-hmm. It's a cool group of people. And there's many, many sides to it. But yes, you know, whenever you think of a hacker, for me, I think of someone sitting in the basement, the purple room like I have, and they're hooded up and they're just like coding. But there's the penetration, the physical side of it as well. And there's like the social engineering side. So it's like how they use their words and like the questions that they ask to get information off people. Like, you know, whenever O2 quote unquote phones you and asks you for your password because some shit's hit the fan and then they steal all your details, like all of that stuff in terms of language and social engineering and stuff like that. Like it's just so fascinating for me hearing what they do on a daily basis.
That is fascinating. It's a real problem here in Dubai where these phone scammers or cybersecurity, like this place is like a hotspot where, you know, India is targeting these guys really, really hard. Yeah. And I've had friends out here who are really sharp and switched on. They use the social engineering to get money out of their account and sharing the OTP number, like crazy, absolutely, absolutely crazy. So yeah, like on a meaning and purpose level, like what you're doing, it's like, but I need to find the defenders. You know, I need to find the guys that are going to spoil the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. So we were speaking about a supplement that you were launching, specifically a nootropic. So tell me a little bit about nootropics and your experience with them and how you've played with them.
For me, again, this is, well, a conversation that I had with Dave probably about 2 years ago. Both of us very much just into trying supplements and with the goal of just finding how we can be better, whether it's that 1% in terms of think better, focus better, train better, sleep better, whatever it is. So we sort of spoke about it on and off for a while. And then probably about 7 or 8 months ago, we just thought, fuck it, we're going to need to do it. And for me, the way I sort of see it is it's like the evolution of We Hack Health. Like this is the next chapter. So we haven't launched it. We've been talking about it. Well, we've been dealing with it in the background. I'm hosting a client event here in just under 2 weeks' time in Phoenix. And that's going to be the launch of it, since they're going to have the sample products, launch the brand and everything else. For me with nootropics is just a case of I just want to be more efficient. I just want to be better at everything that I do. So, you know, what combination of things can I take, drink? Like what is it that sort of makes me focus more or be distracted less or just operate at a higher level? And again, just take it full circle right back to the clients that I work with, like the biggest thing that they come to me with at the start, which is actually has changed over time. It's like, obviously they used to come for, you know, they want to lose weight or they want to get in shape. They now come to me, it's like, I want to focus better, like I want to think better, like I want to perform better. So they're coming to me for the thing that I always seen as the byproduct, which I think is an interesting sort of transition. So for me, it's just a case of it's something that I'm interested in and I want to be able to provide product. We've obviously gone through the testing and built out the product. As I said to you just before we come on, literally the samples are on the way. FedEx they're literally on the way right now. So it'll be the first sort of test run of that on my end. The company was going to be Hacking Your Health, and I went through some design stuff with the guy that I use, Sean, at Somewhere Uncharted. and it just wasn't fitting for me. And I've always had this thought in the back of my head, Zero Day was a cool, it was going to be a cool like product, but we just went with Zero Day as the brand. So Zero Day is essentially whenever you find a vulnerability in a system. So it is a hacker term. I think that it'll fit well with that. So the brand's going to be Zero Day. The initial products are going to be a pre-workout and a whey protein. And then we're going to launch, I haven't fully decided this yet, but I'll tell you, and that'll be the decision made. I'm going to launch Unitropic probably in August this year with the intent of doing it around Black Hat and DEF CON. Like I said, that's when there's 50,000 hackers in Vegas. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it at that time and create an event around that. And the goal will be to use the game on Discord for people to get points and then they can buy into the event and stuff like that. So that's the goal with that. Get it around essentially 50,000 potential clients of either coaching or a supplements brand. But yeah, it's just just something to play about with and have fun with. Like I've tried endless amounts of supplements myself. So it's like taking the good bits from some, taking the good bits from others and trying to create my own.
Yeah. Mate, I love that. I absolutely love that. We all have a dream inside us of launching a supplement brand. We all have it, and you found a place where you're like, yeah, you know what? I think this one can really fucking land. Mm-hmm. And for those who are wondering what on earth is nootropics, I use the metaphor for nootropics. You might have a different metaphor, but imagine the brain, right? You've got that little bit down the middle. I want you to imagine that's the River Thames. Now, what happens during rush hour? Well, it gets lots of traffic trying to go across from north to south and south to north. This is not a scientific explanation. This is purely metaphor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But when there's rush hour or when you're very stressed, well, then there's more and more cars trying to get across it. There's more traffic, so things aren't flowing as much. So what nootropics do, whether you use some really intense ones or some lighter, more supplement based ones, they essentially can help ease the traffic. Some of them are so powerful, it's almost like adding an extra half lane. So maybe even a full lane, but it's just so that the cars can get around the outside. So then they can start just loosening it up. Mm-hmm. What that actually means is you often have more clarity, more focus, and you can really stay on task. I've played around with a number of different nootropics in my time. I used to get a lot of headaches, particularly from modafinil. I used to get a lot of headaches from that. So these days, the nootropics I have is mushroom coffee, if you can even call it that, the lion's mane chaga, and a half the amount of caffeine than normal. Alpha Brain. Used to play with that. That was cool. That's essentially what nootropics are and what they do. And for the use case of hacking, fucking hell, it makes.
Yeah. I think for me, it's the... The best way I can describe it, and I don't like using this analogy because of how the movie ends, but if you ever watch the film Limitless,
I knew he was going to say that. Yeah, I don't like the analogy.
Yeah, that's it. Like without the being addicted to drugs and turning into a crackhead at the end, like that just ability to focus and get shit done, like that's the goal. And as you said, you know, there's obviously different tiers. There's supplemental ones, and then there's like microdosing with other things. And I've played around with it all. Obviously, I'll do it all above board, and it'll be a legit product. But the goal is essentially to be able to think and feel better and operate better on a daily basis.
That's awesome, mate. I love that. And that ties into mental performance, which is, okay, well, here's how I see mental performance. You got three layers. The first is tactical. So nootropics are tactical. And it's like, you know, what's a little 1-3% tweak that I can really start to make that? Or journaling to clear your mind. That's tactical. You know, we can all do that. And then you got strategic. So one thing I talk to a lot about my clients, particularly when they're trying to focus and concentrate, is, well, when are your peak performance hours? Are you a night owl or are you actually a morning person? For me, I'm not a morning person. I don't get anything done in the mornings, but put me on at 11 p.m. to about 1 a.m. at night, my brain gets really creative. So the strategy is, okay, well, I take my mornings as my evenings. So that's where I wake up, I have my breakfast, I go to the gym, maybe read a couple of articles, do some journaling, do some thinking. And then, so morning is for thinking and then afternoon is for doing. Mm-hmm. Some people are the opposite way around.
I'm the opposite.
Yeah. Right. So that's strategy. Mm-hmm. But then you've got identity at the highest level. And identity is, well, do I believe I'm the sort of person that can do it? Am I the sort of person that can pull this off? Do I believe and back in myself? Or am I an air quote anxious person? Or am I a very fearful person? And really, I love working at the identity level. Mm-hmm. I like that's where I spend most of my time. The bit that gets all of the, I don't know, the attention, or the bit that everybody's fascinated by is the tactical stuff. oh yeah, well, yeah, I never thought that about nootropics, or yeah, maybe I do need to time my coffee a little bit better, or yeah, maybe journaling, I need to journal these questions versus these questions. But the reality is, it's having the backing, the belief, the conviction, the confidence that I'm the man that can, or woman that can deliver on this. So that constitutes a number of different things. There's belief statements, and then there's also the emotions of fear and anxiousness and overwhelm and doubt and worry and anger and sadness and guilt and shame. And often I find that that's often the most underlooked area when it comes to really hacking somebody's cognitive performance, because the more time that you're spent burning up emotional energy, the less time is spent actually just sitting down and concentrating and doing the thing that you need to do. So have you explored a lot in the emotional management area of whether that's on a personal level or even what you're doing with the guys?
Yeah, I mean, definitely me. Like, it's something I've been focused on for quite some time. I work directly with Kira McCullough, holistic high performance coach on Instagram, and I brought her in actually as part of the team. So she hosts a call once a month. She's coming out to the event in Phoenix, so she's available to the team as well. I work with Sean Doherty. He original company was the 555. So basically, he provides bite-sized wellness. So it's 5 minutes breath work, 5 minutes meditation, 5 minutes journaling. There's five available sessions, 5 days a week, essentially. And all my clients have access to that. They basically just drop in, log into a Zoom account, they do the breathwork, the meditation, and the journaling. My goal with them is to just go beyond fucking physical stuff and think about the mental side of it as well. Like, looking after the whole human. Actually, Sean, give me that phrase, so I'll give him the credit for it. But he is also available. So we have an experts call once a week, and they just alternate between Kira, Sean, I host one. And then we have Lorena, who's a mobility coach. She's a former Olympic gymnast. So she does the mobility stuff. So yeah, from a mental perspective and from the belief perspective, for me, I brought Sean and Kira in because I use them myself. And I feel like I can't coach at a level in a place that I haven't been willing to go myself. So being able to bring them in and go, look, these are people that I have used. I'm not saying that everybody's going to be into it. It's a tool that you can use if you do wish. I know that sometimes when you mention journaling, the people are like, woo, woo, like, yeah, yeah, whatever. But then whenever they actually, even breath work, like whenever you say breath work to people the first time, I remember the first time I brought Sean onto a call, and Dave, the guy that hosts the podcast with and I'm opening the company with, runs multiple like incredible cybersecurity businesses, and he's on this call and he's like, right, we're gonna do breathwork. And he's like looking at me like, what the fuck, talk about breathwork? And then by the end of it, he texts me saying, like, that literally is like nothing I've ever experienced before. And I was like, I mean, I told you, like, I mean, I'm not gonna push it on you, but like, it's available there. So yeah, looking at that, looking after the whole human, I think is important. And I think the thing that I realized is people are now starting to come for that again. Do you know what I mean? They realize that, okay, yes, they need to lose weight or they need to gain control of their health and fitness, but there is so much more depth to it as to what they need to go through. And identity is something that I talk about individually with them quite a lot, because they will identify as, you know, I used to be this, or I'm not that, or, you know, I go to the gym because I want to lose weight. I'm like, well, can you not just go to the gym because you're a person that goes to the gym? Like, can we change your sort of narrative around the words that you're saying? So that's where I'll come in on that. But yeah, I mean, for me, like I said, I just want to be better in every area and every aspect. So for me, bringing them in and allowing, you know, clients and the team to have access to them has been a game changer for them and what they do.
Yeah. And there'll be a lot of coaches listening to this. We're going, wow, like, Ben's got all his shit sorted.
We're glad for
Yeah, and honestly, you'd be surprised, because a lot of people, and this is, I ask everyone these sorts of questions when they come on the podcast, because there's a lot of people that look around at the industry at what people are up to and they think, oh, everybody else has got it nailed other than me. But that's just not inherently true. That's not a realistic expectation of what reality is. So what would you say some of the emotions that come up for you on a day-to-day basis that can go, oh, fucking hell, that can be a bit of a wrestle? And if you're not comfortable to share what's happening today, perhaps some stuff 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 9 months ago, perhaps at your work for it.
No, I mean, I've no problem sharing. One of the biggest things that I had to deal with probably, it was end of November last year, I remember it specifically. Last year I just went full send on business, like literally nothing else mattered in my life apart from pushing business. I have a 4-year-old daughter. And I remember sitting, it was 2 weeks before her birthday. And we're talking about her birthday party, and I was talking about her birthday party. She's like, who's going? And she'd mentioned all these people. And I was like, am I not invited? And she literally turned around at dinner, looked me dead in the eye. And she was like, will you have time? And that, like, I have never experienced a change in my emotions so rapidly as to that moment right there. So for me, I had always said that, you know, I'm doing this for her and for her future. And the truth of the matter is she doesn't give two shits about the future. She just wants to watch Moana, build Lego and play Snap. That's all she wants to do. So for me, I had to really sort of evaluate how my days and my weeks were set up. From that, I've absolutely changed it. I get up a little bit earlier, get a block of work done, get her up, have breakfast there, take her to school and stuff like that. And then I try to finish my day off at least 3 out of 5 days where I can have dinner with her and then chill out and do whatever she wants. So that's something I really struggled with, because my belief up until that point was everything I'm doing was for her. And just in that moment, I was like, she doesn't give a shit about it. Like, yes, I understand it, but she doesn't understand it. She just wants my time. She doesn't give a shit about her future right now. Things that come up at the minute, I would say the struggles that I face at the minute is like entering this complete new realm of the supplements company is like legit business stuff. Like, I'm not saying that coaching's not, but like I'm dealing with having to apply for, you know, an investor visa in the US, dealing with the fucking government, dealing with FDA approval, like dealing with like what I deem to be big boy stuff. And I very, very much feel like I'm out of my depth. I've sort of taken the full operations role within the company because I know Dave has a lot of shit going on. And there's a part of me almost wants to, like, I guess, prove to myself and to him that I'm capable of doing it. But there's a lot of times I'm sitting here or I'm on my laptop and I'm like, I have not got a fucking clue what I'm doing. But the thought that comes after that is like, I didn't have a fucking clue what I was doing when I started coaching. So I just see this as another opportunity for growth. And this sort of growth in that business will help me in my coaching business and any business that comes after that. So it is a bit of an emotional roller coaster. Like, there's a lot of frustration and, you know, just stuff that, I guess probably the best way to put it is just stuff that I don't really value doing. Like, I have to write a business plan so that I can apply for a visa. I've never used a business plan in my life. Don't even know how to put one together. I said to Ben, he was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I have to do it. So I'm like trying to type up this business plan that like makes sense. And I just, it's not just something like I don't care about. So trying to do stuff that I know that I actively have to do for the outcome, and really challenging myself to do those things is quite difficult because part of me just wants to sack it all off.
Yeah, entrepreneurship is blood, it's guts, it's really ugly and there's lots of frustration and you're always feeling around in the dark. It's like you've got your eyes shut and you're like, I'm just trying to touch something. And then
it's the ultimate, it's that meme of like, fuck around and find out. That's literally what we're all doing on a daily basis.
Yeah, it is. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, this unexpected twist or this unexpected turn. And even stuff in business that comes out of nowhere that catches you off guard. Like, I had a brand years ago, like 2014, and I owned the domain. And now this guy tried to blackmail me into taking the domain off me by taking some domains of my current business. And I just said, no thanks. And now he's trying to threaten me with cyber squatting laws. And then he sent
me... Do you want me to get the boys? I put you in contact with the people. Yeah. I've got the virtual people that you need.
Yeah. Maybe we can put some sort of arrangement. Yeah. But like, it's just so random. It's like, this is a business like over a decade ago. I haven't touched.
Yeah.
There's this guy that wants to try and do me some damage somehow. And then like, he's like, well, I'm going to have to report you to this and bring in my lawyers. And that's great. That's fine. I'm sure when it all goes to claim, like, you know, I'm sure the courts won't worry about your blackmail attempts, upon which I have all of the evidence of you saying I will take over this domain and put some really horrible things on there. It's like, what kind of world do you live in? Like, what is, and business is just full of, so, and entrepreneurship is through so many surprises, you know. And
it's good though. Like, at one of my many years ago, I did the 6 human needs test, and uncertainty is like top of growth and uncertainty are top 2 for me. So like, yeah, it's every day is different, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, I couldn't live a quote unquote normal life where I was like, check in at 9 a.m, check out at 5 p.m. and just do the same shit every single day. So I like the challenge. I like being able to push things, and I like the uncertainty of, you know, what's going to come next.
Yeah, me too. It's kind of like, it always comes back to, I chose this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, kicking nuts. You're like, oh, I did choose this. Like, there is a part, there's a bit of a masochist inside me that kind of enjoys, a sadist as well, the masochist and sadist. It's like, I fucking kind of like this. Like, what?
Yeah, what's wrong with me?
I keep coming back for more. I can't just have a quiet, peaceful and easy life. Why have I got to have this? Well, that's what keeps you going, right? Keeps you ticking.
100%. Yeah. Literally wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. So I got one question I ask every single guest. So I want you to forget whether you come across us before or not, but I want you to forget me or the team at Total Mental Performance. But what does the phrase total mental performance mean to you? If you had total mental performance, how would you know?
I think to me it means being able to operate without hesitation, almost having enough evidence or confidence in the stuff that you've done or the evidence that you have built in your abilities to execute on whatever the task is, whether that's to do with business or family or training or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yes is a great, no is a good, but it's the maybes that will kill you. And maybe land is often where all the hesitation lives. Mm-hmm. And it's your ability to navigate maybes and be okay with them, or getting to yes or no as quickly as possible is really the dance and the key there.
Yeah, I'd rather make the wrong decision and find out sooner than not make a decision and then find out later on down the line. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good old fashioned American technology business. Fail fast, fail
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny because, you know, you talk about Americans, like my eyes, and maybe you get this obviously being in Dubai, like being from Northern Ireland, there's very much a case of you're limited, like you're in a very small pond, and there obviously is a ceiling, whether you believe it or not. And just being able to work with people and seeing what other people are doing in other parts of the world, like, has absolutely blown my mind as to what the possibilities are. They're like literally endless possibilities. You know, if it's talking from clients or clients that run businesses or even clients that work for other companies, like what they're doing and the stuff that they have going on. Like, I host client events. I say I do them every 6 months, but I did 6 last year and 5 planned this year. We've got 51 people coming out to Phoenix at the end of this month. And I'm just excited for the level of conversation that's going to be going on there. It's from business owners to people who are, you know, startups that are using AI to do this or using AI. One guy I coach, he's building a business that they use AI to train dogs. And I'm like, what other world would I be in that I've been able to bring these people together to one place and have a conversation with them, or even just observe the conversation that they have between themselves? So just seeing what's out there has opened my eyes to the world of possibility. And I'm always very much of, if I can see, to use the gaming analogy again, if I can see the levels ahead of me, I just need to work out how the fuck I get to that level. Like, I see them and see them and see them. Whereas over here, you know, it's the 50 clients or 5K months or 10K months or whatever it is. Like, there are the ceilings, but fucking endless stuff out there beyond that once you see what's going on.
Yeah. I don't think you truly know your country until you leave it and you spend a considerable time away from it. And I haven't lived, so funnily enough, my grandparents are from Belfast on my dad's side, and then my mum's side of the family are all Spanish. But I was brought up in Hertfordshire, just north of London, huge Arsenal fan. And I never appreciated and also had disdain for where I come from until I left my country. And what I mean by that is, a lot of people will knock the UK. Oh, it's this, it's that. But actually, when you go out to other parts of the world, you realise like the NHS is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The fact that we've got free healthcare is unbelievable. That's not normal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's normal in Europe. Yeah, but it's not Europe in the Middle East. Normal in Europe. Yeah, not normal in the Middle East. Yeah. It's not normal in America. And in Dubai, it's got the same healthcare system as the US. So it's really weird, like, navigating that. You don't realize how much care and also like freedom laws and that. At the same time, you know, there's not enough discipline and people aren't scared of the police. So people do what they want and it's like a free for all. And like, you don't really know that until you live in another country and you can really get an objective view, because a fish doesn't know that it's in water. So how can you really know your country if you've only ever lived in it the whole time? So I found that's been very refreshing. And then I've been quite lucky because being in London, it's a very international city. Mm-hmm. So you get a very international view very quickly. Like, you go for dinner and like one person from Japan and America and Canada and whatever, so you kind of got those viewpoints. So that's one part, is like more the countryside. And then the people side, that's also why as soon as my boxing career was over, I was like, I'm going to London, because I know the people I'll have around me are gonna be the most talented, they're gonna stretch you, you're just gonna see a much more global vision and a global world. That doesn't mean I don't miss home. I do head home. I try and get home as much as I can. But you do need those influences, because otherwise you're stuck in the same echo chambers of the same shit. And that's actually as fun as exciting as this is for you, Ben. It's also a risk that you fall into a hacker's yeah. echo chamber. And next thing you know, that fresh set of eyes you have on the industry then falls into that. And then you can't sort of see what's going on. But you do need different environments, whether they're physical environments, whether they're digital environments, or, you know, the people that you have around you to sort of explore, like, okay, well, what is going on with this new piece of dog AI? Or actually, where is the coaching industry going on?
Yeah,
on this
big question.
Yeah. Where is psychology going, you know?
Yeah. And even with that, like, I was on a call with one of my friends earlier on, and I literally asked me that question, like, where's the future of the coaching industry? I was like, fuck if I know. But for me, it's not necessarily where the future of the coaching industry it's going. It's where the future of how I'm going to coach my clients is going. So I'm very much a case of, I'll get them around. We'll have every sort of 6 months, I'll do a client round table and be like, what do you like and what do you not like about the way that I coach you, and how can I make it better? And I'll literally build it around them, and we'll do the same when we're in Phoenix. And they're always very open, and because they've had such success with working with me and the team, they're always very open to want to make it better and give honest feedback. And for me, you know, Dave is funny in terms of, like, don't just limit yourself to cybersecurity. Like, there's so many industries. Like, there's literally hundreds of thousands of people in this industry. Like, I'm good if I stick within this industry. Like, I do not need to go outside or beyond this. So being able to build out something for them that they can know, and the ultimate goal, not that you asked, but I'll finish on this, is I want WeHack Health and Hacking Your Health to be recognized within that industry as something that has changed the narrative of that industry, like, long term.
I fucking love that, dude. Mate, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I've deeply enjoyed this conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely flown past. Where can everyone find you?
You can find me personally on Instagram at bc.training. I don't really do much on Instagram because my clients don't use it. But in terms of other places, you can find us at WeHack Health on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, YouTube, all the other places. And then when we get the supplements company launched, it's going to be We Are Zero Day on all social media platforms and website.
Yeah. Love that, mate. Thank you so much for coming on the pod. Guys, if you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to leave a review, share it to your stories, tag us in it. We're trying to take the TMP podcast out to the world. Ben, mate, infinite love. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
So that's us for today, team. I want to say a huge thank you for spending this portion of your life listening to us. A couple of things before you disappear. If you're not already following us on Instagram, you can find all of our daily content on mindset and hitting peak performance at Total Mental Performance, or our website, www.totalmentalperformance.com. If you haven't already, please subscribe. You'll find us on Spotify, the Apple Podcasts, and all the other various different platforms. Big love. Thank you ever so much. And we're looking forward to speaking with you soon.